us pray. The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. And Christians all over the world are coming to worship on this Easter morning with those words and phrases of salutation. Yes, O God, the Lord is risen. Now bless us this hour as we sing your praises and as we celebrate Christ's victory over sin and even death itself. Amen. Stand as we sing. Screens. The Lord is my strength and my power. The Lord has become my salvation.
There are joyous songs of victory in the tents of the righteous.
The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted.
The The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord.
The Lord has chastened me sorely, but has not given me over to death.
Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation.
The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Save us, we beseech you, O Lord.
O Lord, we beseech you. Give us success.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God, who has given us light.
Lead the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, who is good, for God's steadfast love endures forever.
As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. Let us bow in prayer together. Shall we pray? Lord, this is Easter. On this day, we celebrate the first Easter. And we remember through reading of the scriptures, through singing, and through the poetry of Easter, what you did. And what it means to all of Christendom. We give you thanks for the accounts of the very first Easter, at which time the women came to the tomb. They had not any forethought as to who would push the stone away, yet they came. They were so sad, and they brought the spices to anoint the body of Jesus. We know those stories, and we know how they found the empty tomb and how that confused them mightily. And as we continue reading the accounts, we recognize he wasn't there either. And we know where he was because you raised him from the dead. And Lord, we honor your name. We give you thanks both personally as well as our church and society. Indeed, the whole world praises you for what you did. Usually, O God, we confess to you that we think in terms of this world's values, this world's sensations, this world's expectations. And we focus all of our efforts on the sensations of life, the duties we have with work and family, church and friends, with athletic teams and following everything that life places upon us, both good and not good. Lord, on Easter especially, help us to raise our eyes, our thoughts, and our minds to lift our hearts to other realms of reality, namely the ones that you have made a plan that you have made a plan to overcome all the things in life that would put us down, that would destroy our health, that would take away the joy of friendship, of love, that would simply rent asunder the cohesiveness of churches, focus of government. Lord, in this realm, the evil one seems to have full range to work his wiles and to destroy who we are. But thanks to you and another realm of thinking, we recognize that death and sin and suffering and torn relationships, they cannot stand the presence of the risen Lord. So this day we thank you once again for Easter. This day we thank you because we are freed from that which takes us down. Through Christ, we can celebrate. We confess to you that we've not kept the faith very well, and from time to time, we wander away. But today and every day, bring us back, O Lord. Keep our faith strong in the Easter message. Hear, O Lord, our prayers of intercession. There are many who are ill, many who are bereaved. There are many who are suffering various distresses, whether they be economic or social, whether they be political, or simply because of depression and an inability to cope. Lord, sometimes we forget folks who we don't see. So help us and make us mindful to remember in our prayers the sick and the lonely, and all those others that can't celebrate because of issues that take away their concentration and their health and their grief. Dear Heavenly Father, let us all grieve for those that it is our privilege for whom to grieve. But let us grieve as those who have hope, and not those who grieve as those who have no hope. Bless us all and lift us up before you, and let us remember that great prayer which Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Praise to the Lord.
This time I'd like for all the boys and girls to come forward. I have something in this box that is very beautiful, and I want to show it to you and talk about it with you. Would you come? Abel, I like your new haircut. Does everybody see this haircut? Where did your hair go? Come on up, please. My, what a nice crowd we've got today. Good. Now, I want to show you something. Do you all know what these are? What do you think about that? Isn't that something? They're Easter eggs. Well, they're kind of different, aren't they? What do you think about all the color? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that lovely? Well, I'll tell you a little bit about these eggs. There was a gentleman whose people came from a country which we now call the Czech Republic, Czechoslovakia, when his people came. And this is their culture of what they do on Easter. And they make these beautiful eggs, and they celebrate Easter by painting them. Isn't that something? Notice the detail. See how tiny it is? Isn't that something? Well, boys and girls, why do you think an egg is so important for Easter? And why would Mr. Hornick spend so much time on a beautiful egg? Why is an egg important? You have any idea? Did you all hunt Easter eggs this year? Did you get a bundle? We had a hunt here, and my goodness, eggs were everywhere. I thought that rained eggs, we had so many eggs. Well, I'll tell you something about the egg. What comes out of an egg? Chocolate and things come out of an egg. Yeah, that's right. And that's a good sign, isn't it? That's a good thing, yeah. And a yolk can come out too, can't it? But leaving chocolates aside and the yolk, what alive comes out of here? A chicken. If it's a chicken's egg, it'll come out as a chicken, right? If it's an ostrich egg, it won't be a chicken, will it?
It'll be an ostrich.
It'll be an ostrich. That's exactly right. Now, boys and girls, why an egg is so important as an Easter symbol, and why the Czech people have such beautiful painted eggs, is because egg represents new life. And Easter is all about a new life, the raised from dead Jesus. And that's what happened the first Easter. And we've been celebrating it ever since as new life, because that's what Jesus gives to us. And we're to believe in Jesus. And then we have the promise of new life, even when we get sick and die. So let's have a prayer. Thank you, O God, for Mr. Hornick and these beautiful eggs that he painted years and years ago. Thank you for the joy of celebration on Easter and the eggs which give new life, and sometimes chocolate as well. So thank you, God, for all the symbols of what you did in Christ for all of us. Amen. And thank you very much for coming up. I will leave these eggs here if you would like to come by and see them. They're perfectly gorgeous and very fragile. Yes, one to worship, if you'd like to go, thank you. Children, that away and this away. Thanks, Richard. Our scripture lessons for today are taken from two places in the New Testament. First of all, from Acts chapter number 10, verses 34 to 43, and then from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Then Peter began to speak to them. I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. And we turn also to Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words and returned from the tomb. They told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what has happened. Amen, and here end these readings from God's most holy word. Let us bow in prayer. May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Early this morning, I found my way to the front porch. I'd already checked the temperature. It was like 57 degrees. And that's good sitting on the front porch weather. And so the cat and I got outside. She was prowling around, and I had my cup of coffee. And I just sat there and listened. It was very quiet. Amazingly so, except a number of feathered friends. Hoo, hoo, hoo. Hoo, hoo, hoo. Hoo, hoo, hoo. Aren't I good? No owl would look at me as if to say, "You're one of us, bud." But they wanted to know who was outside, I guess, or who was going to get that mouse, because they were hooting, "Hoo, hoo, hoo." I had two to my left, and then there was one that started right in front of me on one of the tree limbs in our yard. It had a bass voice. Hoo, hoo, hoo. My kind of owl, I thought to myself. And in our yard, way to go, owl. But then as I enjoyed the concert from our feathered friends, I passed that on by in my thoughts, and I got to thinking about the first Easter. How it was quiet. I wondered if they had owls that hooted back then, too. I looked into the shadows, and I saw nothing except across the lake there was the paper man in his car delivering the morning paper. It would come in and out and in and out, so I knew what he or she was doing. I thought about that first Easter once again, and I thought, you know, the women are going to come to the tomb, and they're going to go by the shadows, because they didn't want anybody necessarily to see them. It was a time filled with tension. But they spoke quietly to themselves, and they said, who can roll away the stone? I hadn't thought about that, Mary. And here we are, laden with our spices, and we forgot to get somebody to roll the stone away. I don't know who's going to do it, but we certainly can't. They trudged farther along. And then, just as the dawn began to break, and it got to be just a little bit light, they looked at the tomb. There was no stone in front of the opening. And as I thought about that, a songbird started chirping because the dawn was beginning to break, and the songbirds were cutting into the owl concert. And I said, wouldn't you know it? They are celebrating dawn as well. And so I continued sipping my coffee. The cat never did join me to jump in my lap because she was busy taking her tour of her property and marking it, of course. So they pushed on a little bit further, and all of a sudden, two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. They were terrified. They bowed their heads to the ground. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Don't you remember how he told you? The prophecies, he opened his your minds to his mind, and he talked about him suffering, dying, and rising again. Don't you remember that? And they rushed on back. They were scared to death. Told the disciples. Said, yeah, right, sure, whatever you think. And most of them passed that way. But the Holy Spirit came upon Peter and caused him to get up. And so he ran to the tomb for himself. Now notice what happened. Over in Acts, Peter was preaching and talking about the career of our Lord and what God did through him. And when he finished, the Holy Spirit came upon them. That was in Acts. In Luke's first edition of his writings, which was the gospel, of course, the Holy Spirit touches Peter. And he runs and he says, wow. And he was simply amazed that a person who from a distance he saw die was no longer in the tomb. And he had to do some thinking about that. But in his sermon, we find Peter testifying, I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Now that is an amazing statement, isn't it? So often, we Christians, we members of churches, look at the world through our own particular keyhole, We ever look through a keyhole? What do you see on the other side? About all the keyhole will show, right? I think that's why they invented wide-angle lenses, so we could look through the lens and see everybody in the hall, right? Sometimes we get the idea that if less people think our way, there's something the matter with how they think. It's true within Christendom. It's true politically. It's true with cultures. It's true with different economies and different social statuses. We think our way is the only way, but notice what Simon is saying, that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know, he continued, the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Now, what we get from Peter's message, what we get from the stunned silence of the women of the tomb, as well as Simon who went back, he had to see for himself, what we get is that something's going on which covers the globe and is not susceptible to culture, to denomination, or even to faith and faith confessions. Have you ever noticed that when there is a tragedy, whenever there is terrible, terrible, terrible need, people show up to help? People of every religion, every culture, every nationality will pour out whatever they can give to help people in need. We see that with the latest explosion of the terrorists in Brussels. People all over the world, their hearts simply in sympathy pour out to them and on their behalf. Did anybody check whether they were Baptists or Methodists? Did anybody check whether they were Mormon or Christian? Did anybody ask if they were Islamic people? You know, terrorists have killed more Islamic people than they have Europeans. And one of the greatest tragedies I found, ISIS decided they were going to crucify on Friday a Christian priest that they had caught. And they did. Do not the hearts of Christians everywhere and every other people go out to an individual who is purposely taunted and killed and provoked into suffering the way Jesus was? The outpouring of pain toward others, trying to relieve that pain, I mean, that sort of thing is what Peter is referring to, that everyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. It opens up the entire spectrum that God, through Christ, is everywhere and does not stop at a particular end of the country and starting with another particular boundary. So with this ability of the Christian faith to lift higher our gaze, besides just the values of this realm, we can then see how Easter is indeed universal. And then my mind, it moved back to the front porch and my owl concert, interposed with a songbird announcing it's time to get up. Songbird colleagues, we've got to do some singing. And yes, dawn was beginning to break. I was seeing clearly the things in the yard and in the neighbor's yard because I had light. And it reminded me, you know, this is what Easter's all about. Every day we move from darkness to light. Easter, we are caught up in sin, we are caught up in death, but yet, if we look, someone is there lifting us up. God is there witnessing to us, you know, follows the dark, whatever follows the darkest night is light because day shines on it and into it. And I looked, and the sunlight let me see my lawn. The sunlight let me see the Bradford pears in the neighbor's yard. The sunlight let me see beauty. That's what the resurrection does. God, through Christ and Easter Day, lets us see things in a brand new and different realm. I was amazed as I drew the connection between the scriptures and the world around us. Easter is universal. It's everywhere. And what we Christians are called on to do is to witness to it. Because God is going on and he is doing God's thing in changing the earth from winter to spring. We see this every year, do we not? The trees who look so dead now have buds on them. Did I cause it? Did you cause it? No. God caused it. This is what trees do in the springtime, and the grass, and the weeds, and everything else that grows. We are to see that and witness to it as that's what God does for us. So there's natural theology we see in nature. There's also interpersonal theology. How does Easter affect us? Do you realize that there are people in the world who you can call on the phone and you're immediately uplifted just by hearing their voice? Do you know who they are? Of course you do. You like to be around them. They seem always to be upbeat and you say, yes, I'm a little in the doldrums today. I think I'll call such and such. Hello? And immediately your spirit is lifted. That is the resurrection right there. Resurrection of our spirits from something that is negative and down and feeling badly to something that is positive. It is the action of lifting up when we are down. On the other hand, have you ever found anybody whom you see their names in the little window of the phone, and the phone's ringing its head off, and you see that name and you say, oh no, I don't want to pick that phone up. I'm in for it if I pick that phone up. You been there, done that? Of course you have. You're smiling. Yeah. Now notice the difference. On the one hand, there are people that lift us up. On the other hand, there are people that drag us down. What is the difference? When we turn our spirits over to Jesus, no matter what the issue, Jesus lifts us up. Jesus gives us hope. Jesus says, come on with me, we can lick anything that might put you down or make you sad. And there are people out there that will witness to that. And that is exactly what you and I are supposed to do with the Easter faith. We are to witness to the uplifting spirit, which is all over the place. We see it in nature. We see it in each other. We see it when we wake up and we say, yes, this is the day the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be very glad in it with the Lord's help. But how many of us roll out of bed and say, oh man, I got to move this leg. Oh man, I feel so stiff. Oh man, I gotta find somebody to gripe to, 'cause I'm old. Anybody like that? Oh dear, I see so many smiles. I'll just put my blinders up. I'm like that myself sometimes. But we need to be running into Jesus' Spirit when we are like that, because this is life. And Christ came to overcome everything that puts us down, including our old bones. And we can still smile even though we hurt. And it's okay, because our faith is with Jesus, and he shows us how to do it. He went through all that suffering that first Holy Week, and did we hear him whine? Ouch, that hurts! Did we hear that? Somebody spits in his face. Did we hear him swear at him? I don't think so. He shows us how to suffer. He showed us how to die because he had faith in his Heavenly Father. And we have faith too. Now the final thing I want to tell you about Easter, we find in John's Gospel. And it is so everlastingly comfortable, because not only do we have resurrection in nature, not only do we have resurrection among us, and it is the call of the Christian person to be uplifting in nature and not depressing, of course. And the third thing is how God deals through Christ with death, our death. And you know the story in John's Gospel about Mary Magdalene thinking Jesus was the gardener. "Sir, if you've taken him away, tell me where you put him and I'll take him away." And we heard the story about how Jesus said, "Mary," calling her by name. And Mary, who heard her name called by her teacher and by the one who delivered her from seven demons, she knew it was he. And she falls to his feet and he says, "Rabboni, teacher, don't hold on to me. I stopped by to see you before I went to my Heavenly Father. That's how much you mean to me and our relationship of love. And I want you to be assured that everything's fine." What we take from that exchange is that they knew each other as the same persons they were before Jesus died. Now, all of us have lost people we love dearly. We could have a checklist in here. My parents are gone. Virginia's parents are gone. And you can take the checklist. Now look, what Easter lets us be assured of, that when we pass through the portals of death, we're going to see them as the same persons they were before they died. That also is Easter hope. So there we have it. From Luke and from Acts and from John, we recognize that Easter is the movement of night to day, winter to spring, the universality of people willing to help each other regardless of nationality, religion, or creed, or age for that matter. The hope, the celebration of taking that will to help, which is Jesus, Jesus' work, witnessing to it, and then the joy of knowing that although death takes all of us, we'll get to see him on the other side. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue our worship with the opportunity to give back to God that which is his. And of course, 10% of everything we have belongs to God. If we want to give something to God, it's in the 11th percentile and on from there. So he is so good to us. Now let us show how much we appreciate his goodness by giving back to him that which is his. Would you come forward? Thank you, O Lord, for the opportunity to give back to you that which is yours anyway, and also to give beyond our tithe offerings to you to further your work here at this church and in this community, and throughout the mission of the church in the world itself. Amen. Our concluding hymn is Christ is Alive. There may be those individuals who on this Easter Sunday would like to come forward and join the church, professing your faith and saying, yes, I see the Easter faith around me, and I want to acknowledge that that is what leads my life. Christ is Alive is our hymn. Before we have the benediction, I just want to express to our musicians on behalf of you and the other members of the congregation what a tremendous job our musicians have done with Easter. As a matter of fact, every Sunday, but especially Easter, and this Hallelujah chorus that we will hear in just a few moments is just simply another case in point. So let's give them a resounding amen for what they do. We do thank you, folks, very much. Now, people of God, people of Easter, go forth. Go forth. Christ is in front of you, paving the way, and all we really need to do is witness to where we see the Spirit of the risen Lord and say to people around, when we see that in operation, there's Jesus. I see his risen spirit in you. Go in peace.